A Voyage at Christmas. Lieutenant M.J. Nugent, Grand Falls, Newfoundland. The Veteran, December 1938. Some few days after the Halifax explosion of December 6, 1917, the good ship Florizel left St. John's, having on board a draft of troops for overseas. This consisted of two companies of the Forestry Battalion, under the command of Captain Josiah R. Goodyear and David J. Thistle, hereinafter known as Joe and Dave. There were also some 80 other ranks for the regiment. The whole was under the command of Captain J.J. O'Grady, Jerry, with myself as junior sub. The M.O. was the urban and scholarly Dr. Bream. The voyage to Halifax was in the teeth of a nor'wester moderate gale with snow squalls, and many of the troops, in consequence, paid due tribute to Neptune. Owing to the disaster at Halifax, the troops had to be disembarked and conveyed to St. John, New Brunswick for accommodation, pending the making up of the convoy. Unfortunately, on the voyage to Halifax, Sergeant John Sheehan, one of the old blue petits, who had been gassed in France and was now proceeding overseas with the forestry companies, developed pneumonia and had to be sent to hospital. In training at Halifax, amidst the still burning ruins of the railway station, we reached St. John in due time. There, the troops were placed in comfortable quarters, and the officers found lodgings in the George Hotel. While there, we met Dr. Walter Scott of Grand Falls, who was serving with the great Sir William Osier as bacteriologist in the East Command at Colchester, and was returning to England after home leave. The voyage starts. On the arrival of the Western troops, all were embarked on the two ships, Missinabe and Calgarian, which latter was the armed cruiser for the convoy. Among the Western troops were a number of trained nurses and several young aviators from U.S. Flying School at Chicago. We picked up the other ships of our convoy from New York at Halifax, and by Christmas Day were nearly at mid-Atlantic. Christmas Day broke very stormy, so much so that our fleet, which had been traveling at 3 miles apart, were now ordered to 5. And of the 400-odd first-class passengers, there were only 50 down to dinner. However, the party at our table were all present and correct. A few toasts were drunk, and thenceforth on, all entered to the spirit of the occasion. All were seasick. After dinner, the midday meal, a visit was paid to the troops. Most were horribly seasick, and though the dinner provided was very good, very few had eaten anything. A visit was therefore paid to the main dining saloon again, where the chief steward was interviewed. He was very tired, as on account of the rough weather, most of his stewards were sick, and he had to tend table himself. In a few minutes, a corporal and 12 men were ordered, who were supplied with the most dainty bits that could be provided for the men. The chief was so impressed that he presented us with a bottle of special whiskey for our cabin to drink to the health of the ship's company, with the flattering remark that we appeared to be the only officers onto our job that day. In the meantime, one of the ships had been torpedoed, and on leaving her, a funnel fell and killed one of the stewards. So you see, the mercantile marine did their bit and paid their price during the big scrap. A splendid sight. After Christmas, the weather moderated considerably, and by the time the coast of Ireland was in sight, it was quite pleasant. Some distance off, we met the destroyers of the Atlantic Fleet, mostly Americans based on Galway. It was a heartening sight to see them come towards us now, lifting with a gentle roll, going at top speed with smother of foam all around, and cutting around us for all the world like well-trained setters quartering the ground on the barrens. It made even the most anxious more cheerful, and by next day all were in the best of humor. Next day, we passed the Giant's Causeway in full view and proceeded on our course to Liverpool. But there's many a slip, and that night we were ordered back to Lough Swilly, owing to the presence of two submarines in the Irish Sea, evidently waiting for the convoy. The following morning, we weighed anchor and proceeded to Glasgow, with its miles of shipyards on either side, from which could be heard the unceasing din of hammers and riveters, feverishly endeavoring to replace the many thousands of tons of shipping destroyed by the enemy submarine campaign. On New Year's Eve, Hogmanay night, we landed at Glasgow. Here we took leave of some of our friends, old and new. The forestry men proceeded north to their destination, while the regimental draft entrained for air. And so ended one of the many voyages which some of us had to make in the performance of our duties during those hectic times.